Let's open this morning with a prayer for our brothers and sisters in Nepal. Merciful God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray today for our Christian brothers and sisters in Nepal, as well as all the people of that country, and the loss that has been suffered, the heartache due to the recent natural disaster. Amid such great loss, Father, assure them of your great love. Assure them of your promise to deliver and the eternal life waiting in heaven that far outshines the sorrows here on earth. Speed recovery efforts, bind up injuries, comfort those who mourn, and above all, assure them and us that even though we may not always be able to trace the movement of your hand, we can always rely on that great love in your heart. In Christ we pray. Amen. When I was a child, there were only three networks on broadcast TV: ABC, CBS, and NBC. And originally, all programming aired in black and white. And somehow, looking back, life seemed more black and white, too. I can still remember Walter Cronkite, dubbed the most trusted man in America, closing every news broadcast with the same words, "And that's the way it is." Or the familiar sign-off of Huntley and Brinkley, always the same: "Good night, Chet. Good night, David. And good night from NBC News." Somehow comforting, almost welcoming, more news than entertainment. But today, my news mentality is really quite different. I no longer watch the news to learn what happened, but to learn what went wrong, what failed, what exploded, what crashed. According to one study, 69% of news coverage today is bad news, and 31% is good news. And that's not surprising. One reason for that is actually money. More bad news is more attention getting than good news. Bad news means higher ratings, and higher ratings means higher advertising revenue. There's actually an old saying in the news industry, quote, if it bleeds, it leads. It becomes the lead news story. But perhaps there's a simpler reason for the preponderance of bad news today, and maybe the reason is that more bad things are actually happening. Wars, terrorism, natural disasters, earthquakes, famines, crime, corruption, carnage, shooting, stabbings, high prices, low consumer confidence, this much is clear. We do not live in the ever-evolving world imagined by humanists and evolutionists. Our world is perishable. And that perishability is evident everywhere. Metal rusts, food spoils, relationships deteriorate, people age, life ends. The natural order of things is decay. And decay is an ideal setting for bad news. But for a moment, forget the daily headlines and forget the evening news and think about your own experience. How many troublesome events or unhappy memories do you have because someone came to you and said, "I'm afraid I have bad news"? A doctor with bad news about a medical test, a financial advisor with bad news about an investment, an employer with bad news about a job loss, a spouse with bad news about a divorce. And why is this world filled with bad news? Why is the natural order of things frustration and decay, according to Scripture? The reason is sin. And while the scientific and sophisticated of this age may scoff at the notion of sin, and while many churches, unfortunately today, have removed the term sin from their teaching, preaching, and religious vocabularies, nevertheless, the Bible traces all human misery and sorrow and suffering and death to the fall of man into sin. Paul made no apologies when he wrote to the Romans. Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man and death through sin, and so death came to all men because all sinned. That's bad news. But amid such bad news, is it any wonder that the term gospel literally means good news? The Gospel of Mark opens with this precious announcement. The beginning of the gospel, literally, the beginning of the good news about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And in Luke chapter 4, Jesus characterized his ministry in terms of good news. This good news, healing the brokenhearted, proclaiming liberty to captives and recovery of sight to the blind, preaching, he said, the good news to the poor. Jesus came to preach good news. Jesus came as the good news. The Apostle Paul used that term gospel or good news more than any other New Testament writer. But in Romans chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, he explains to us in very concise terms why the gospel of Jesus is such good news. This is what he wrote. Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God, which he promised before through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Consider just two aspects of this good news. First, this gospel of Jesus Christ is good news because its origin is from God. The Apostle Paul described himself as a bondservant of Jesus Christ, as called to be an apostle, as set apart for the gospel of who was it again? Was it the gospel of Paul? Or the gospel of Peter, or the gospel of Thomas? No, he said, the gospel from God. Just as Paul did not act or minister on his own, he never preached a message of his own. Wherever Paul traveled, to whomever he spoke, he never preached a gospel about Paul. He never offered a man-made gospel. He never based his message on human works or worth or merit. Instead, his gospel came directly from God. Why is that good news? Here's why. God alone is always truthful and utterly reliable. And that means that the good news about Jesus Christ is also always truthful and utterly reliable. How do you know God loves you? How? How do you know that you are saved simply by believing in Jesus as your Lord and Savior? How do you know that God forgives all your sins and not just some? How do you know that God will always love you and always be with you? You know that because the gospel of Jesus Christ declares it. And the gospel is from the faithful, infallible God. But there's a second point to consider. The gospel is also good news because it is all about the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ and the salvation that he won for us and that we could not accomplish on our own. Listen again to Paul's words in Romans 1:2. The gospel of God, which he promised before through his prophets in the scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. It's always all about Jesus. You won't find the term gospel in the Old Testament, but you will certainly find repeated again and again and again the good news of the coming Savior who would sacrifice himself for our sins. And that Jesus Christ is the focus of both the Old Testament and the New Testament not only illustrates the cohesiveness of the Bible, but it also tells us something so vitally important about God, something that you and I know, but we always tend to forget in times of hardship and sorrow. And this is the truth, that God is a God who keeps all his promises. The promise to send a Savior, the promise to forgive all our sins, the promise to deliver us in times of trouble, the promise to bring us safely from this veil of tears to himself in heaven. And that Almighty God keeps all his promises in a world of broken promises is certainly good news. It's really hard to find a more concise summary of the gospel than what Paul wrote in Romans 1, 3, and 4. Concerning his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. What's he teaching? What we all know. Jesus Christ, true man. Jesus Christ, true God. And Jesus Christ, our perfect Savior. And that is certainly good news in a bad news world. Amen. Our closing hymn is 245 stanzas 1 and 8.